Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your little ones. We would be privileged to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we start a sermon series that goes along with our Sunday school lessons for the summer. It is called Unshakable Hope, based on the book by well-known Christian author Max Lucado. We will look at three of the promises of God that He gives us to live the Christian life successfully for Him. May God bless you with His grace and power this coming week. We thank you for listening.
God has done marvelous things.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
Let the world and its people sing together for joy.
Children's Time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Good morning. Did everybody play outside yesterday? Oh, me too. Today I'm kind of tired. How about you?
I played outside.
Did you? That's good. What is this?
Piggy bank.
Do you all have a piggy bank?
Yeah.
What do you put in your piggy bank?
Money.
Money, like this?
I got a truck bank.
Do you? A truck bank. That's even better than a piggy bank. They come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Yeah. I got all kinds of them. I got a fish and all kinds of things at home. But we put money in them. Why do we put money in them? Save it up? What do we save it for? For college? Okay, that's a smart one right there. But we save it up to buy something or to get something in the future, right? We don't always get it right now, do we? Where do you save up for heaven? How do you save up for heaven? Can we put it in a piggy bank? Can we save up for heaven in a piggy bank?
No.
No, we can't buy our way into heaven, can we?
No.
So how do we get to heaven? By God, yes, and doing things for God, don't we? This week has been a very special week. A lot of people lost everything they had this week. But God was really good because He did not take it. The storms did not take anybody's life. He saved every one of them. And a lot of people are doing things to help those people. And they're giving things. And they're helping. And they're checking on them. And they're visiting. Do you think these are things we could do to get into heaven? Is that what God wants us to do?
Yeah.
Today's Bible scriptures say that we need to do acts of kindness, do goodness, and do it in God's name. Because these are treasures, things we can store up in heaven when we get there. Not only that, but if we do good here on earth and we listen to God and all of His teachings, it comes back to help us later. We may not know exactly how, but it comes back to give us what we call rewards. Do you know what rewards are? You get a gift like for doing something special or doing something good, don't you? Well, that's what God wants us to do so that we can store that all up for heaven. He says, because the treasures here on earth don't matter.
No.
Nope, they don't, do they? Because we could lose it in the blink of an eye, just like those people did in Jefferson City this week and other towns close by. So what we have to do is do good and store all that stuff up for heaven. And do good for our fellow man, because it's right thing to do, to take care of each other and to be there for each other and to help. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank You for the greatest gift You've given everyone this week, the gift of life. We bless You and thank You for grateful hearts. Please help us to continue to do Your work and to take care of our fellow man and each other, and most importantly, to do what You have taught us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our anthem this morning is Sanctuary by our senior choir.
Thank you.
First two scripture readings are read by Beth Damp, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Word to the Wise, Godly Guidance for Our Goods, by our pastor, Russell Cobb.
Today, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, the expectation of the wicked in wrath. One man gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A liberal man will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. He who trusts in his riches will wither, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. He who troubles his household will inherit wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but lawlessness takes away lives. The second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. The point is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for great generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Here ends the second lesson.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This morning we're going to finish up our series on Proverbs. Before we get started, I know we have a lot of guests here, and I want to encourage you to take a moment, fill out your guest card and drop it in the offering plate when it goes by, and make sure to get a magnet of our church. We try to give those to all of our guests that come here to take that home with you so you'll think about our church and pray for our church when you are away from us. I talked to a lady coming in this morning that she had heard my sermon from last week on the radio and that she really enjoyed it. I think she should get a medal. She's not even only hearing me in the morning, but she's going to hear me again, hear me twice in the same day. That's got to be some record for someone, but she still is here for that. But then someone else told me that they said, hey, keep it short. I've got to be somewhere by noon today. All right? So somewhere in between, I've got someone that, you know, says, hey, the more of you, the better. And then someone says, keep it short. So we'll try to find somewhere in between on that today. But no, we are finishing up our look at the book of Proverbs. We've looked at godly words. We've looked at godly contentment. We've looked at godly women and godly mothers. Last week, we looked at godly wisdom. And this week, we're looking at godly guidance for our goods. I looked up the description for goods in the economic sense this week, and it says, goods are materials that satisfy human hearts. When you look at the book of Proverbs, it's very positive toward our resources, our wealth, the things that God has blessed us with. In fact, 1/6 of the Gospels deal with possessions. They deal with our finances, deal with our wealth. 1/3 of all of Jesus' parables deal with the subject of finances, our resources, our money. So how are we supposed to handle our goods? How does God want us to work with the things that He's blessed us with? Are we supposed to be like Mother Teresa, who gave away everything and went to the slums of India and worked with the orphans and the widows in that part of the world? Or are you supposed to be like the people that appear on the show, American Pickers, where, boy, they've got buildings and shops and their houses are full of all kinds of stuff that they've accumulated over time. And when Mike and Frank come by, they are not very willing to part with that. My dad's got a cousin like that. We went to visit him a few years ago, and he's got a 2-story building in this little town, and it is stacked full of stuff. We walked through it. There was a narrow path through the heart of it, and there are just little spokes off of it that you could kind of walk in and walk out. You had to be careful not to knock something over. And, I mean, he knew what everything was. He knew where he had got it, and he had planned for everything that he was going to do with it. Now he's in his late 70s, and I don't know if he's going to get to it, but he didn't want to part with it, all right? Because I walked through there, and I grabbed a little pamphlet, and I grabbed a little book. These are not the pamphlet in the book. They're just going to be symbolizing that. And I asked him, what can I give you for these? And he goes, oh, I don't know about that. He said, I might need those here down the road. So I put them back. He wasn't willing to even part with that. And I know my dad and I, we came within 10 or 15 foot of a grand piano in that place, and we never saw it because it was piled up with so much stuff. We never saw the grand piano that was there. So what does Proverbs have to say about how we are to handle our resources, our possessions, our wealth? You can follow along with the sermon in your bulletin. You can fill in some of the blanks there, and it has some scriptures to go along with it. Well, number one, money and wealth are not evil. Money and wealth are not evil. Proverbs is very positive about the blessings God has given us. And Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy. He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. He says, it's the love of money. That's the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. See, it's not money, it's not wealth. It's not our possessions that are evil. It's our pursuit of it, our overwhelming control of it, that we want to have more and more and more. That's what the Bible talks about negatively. You know, putting too much value on something is wrong. You know, but money can do a lot of good things. We've seen it this past week with the tornadoes that have gone through Jeff City and through Eldon, the way that people have responded with goods and resources and money to help with the volunteer effort. I saw a report on Channel 13, I think, on Friday that they've had been so overwhelmed with supplies and donations. They said, don't bring us any more of those. Just make a donation. We've got too much already. Money can do good things. I know when Betty and I were first married and we moved to Cincinnati and we piled all our possessions up into a car and went out that way, well, a missionary couple gave us a card for our wedding. $200 was inside of it. Man, I thought we were wealthy at the time because it really helped us when we first got started. But see, money has limitations. We look through in Scripture and it says money is only temporary. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Down in Proverbs 23, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust in your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. And in Proverbs 27, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. He says money, wealth, possessions, there's nothing bad about those things, but it's our view. It's how we handle our resources or our goods that God is concerned about. Placing too much trust, placing too much value, placing too much importance in those things, that's where we get into trouble. And that's where God struggles with us. The second thing that we need to have that Proverbs talks about in our resources and our wealth is you need to have a financial plan. It says in Proverbs 21, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And again in Proverbs 13, little by little, you can save a lot. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And he tells them to look at the ant in Proverbs 6. He says, look at the ant. He says, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. He tells us that we need to have a plan. Look at our resources and get a good idea of where our money's going and how we need to use it. I know when Betty and I moved to Texas, my aunt's church there had a library, and I read every financial book that it had. I read the books by Ron Blue, by Larry Burkett. Dave Ramsey was not out yet, but I've read his books as well, and I've kind of taken bits and pieces of all their advice for finances. I want to give you my financial advice in 6 words. Spend some, save some, give some. That's basically what it is. It could fit on a bumper sticker. I'm not going to sell a lot of books like Dave Ramsey and those other ones, but he tells us there that we need to have a plan. And that's all based on a couple concepts. Number one, the Bible tells us that God owns it all. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, he owns it. Again, in Psalm 50, he says, I don't need your bulls or your goats, for every animal of the forest is mine, a cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. I wish he would keep the mosquitoes. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. When we realize that God owns everything we have, our houses, our cars, our investments, our finances, it changes the questions in our life. It's not how much should I give anymore. It's how much of what God has do I keep for myself. When we realize that he's the steward, that we are the stewards and not the owner, it changes our view on all of our possessions. When we realize that he's the source of all of our blessings and that our jobs, that our investments, our savings accounts, our cars, and those are just the means by which he blesses us, it changes our outlook on what we have. But we need to have a plan with what we have. I encourage you this month and the next few months, take a look at where your money goes, your possessions, and see how God will use you to change that or adjust your plan. See, God doesn't need our offerings. He doesn't need our gifts. Jesus made a coin show up in the mouth of a fish, for goodness sakes. How we handle what we have, big or small, is about trusting God. So many of Jesus' parables deal with an owner leaving his servants in charge of his possessions. He then asked for an accounting of how they managed what was left under their supervision. We will have to give an accounting of what we have been entrusted with one day. See, when I worked at Columbia College, our financial guy would come through and I would sit with him and he would show me how my investment plans are working or what my retirement's looking. And when we moved down here, I met with a financial advisor to kind of plan for the future. But are we consulting God with our financial plan? Are we putting into practice his plans, his financial wisdom? Number one, God owns it all. We are the stewards. And then a little bit later, we'll talk a little bit more that we are blessed so that we can bless others. But the third thing that Proverbs talks about our wealth, is that God blesses hard work. He says in Proverbs 10, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 12, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Proverbs 14, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Many of you from my generation watched the movie The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, or maybe you've read the book The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And you remember the scene in there when he's having to paint a white picket fence. I can identify with that. We didn't have a picket fence, but we had what, a 2 or 3 rail white fence. And I still get shivers in my bones thinking about having to scrape that thing and paint that thing every couple of years. And so what's Tom Sawyer's solution to that? He tricks his friends into the fun of painting for him. And so they all come by and they drop off little gifts, little trinkets, give him little things so they can have the fun of painting the fence until they realize that he's laughing at them sitting in the shade. But see, we're not supposed to be like Ebenezer Scrooge either, working our fingers to the bone at the expense of everything else. But Paul talks about hard work in Acts 20 and the importance of hard work for the Christian. He says, I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companion. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And then he gave us another encouragement in the book of Colossians. He says, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So he's telling us that hard work, when we put Jesus in the proper perspective, that he's really our boss and not our earthly boss, that God will bless that work. I've got all kinds of financial books in my library, and I'll be more than willing to share those with anybody that would like to read one. But one of the little books is called The Richest Man in Babylon. It tells a story of how the man in Babylon became the richest man in Babylon. And each chapter ends with a little bit of wisdom. And this is what he says about hard work. He said, men of action are favored by the goddess of good luck. Meaning that if you work hard, God's going to bless your efforts. As Christians, we must be people of action and hard work. We need to set the godly example of how our resources and our goods are used and that we've worked hard for them. And finally, the last thing that we see from the book of Proverbs that he says about our resources is that God blesses generosity. We see it in Proverbs chapter 11. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. He says the same thing in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Paul echoes this in 2 Corinthians. We just read it a few moments ago. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I remember visiting with my father-in-law a few years ago and talking about how many bushels does he plant to get 150 to 200 bushels of corn. He kind of explained so many bags, so many pounds, and it was a minor amount to what the harvest would produce. And I know I just finished planting my garden for the second time. It's the worst looking garden in town, I think, because it's just been drained. And, you know, for 2 weeks there, I had like one okra coming up and one zucchini plant coming up. And then the rabbits ate the zucchini plant. And then there was 4 week tomato plants. But finally, on Thursday, after the second plant, I've got beans coming up. Finally, after that. And I'm looking to, a harvest, some that we can have green beans for dinner. I just didn't plant one bean. I didn't plant two. I planted a whole row and a part of another row because one bean turns into many beans at harvest time. And that's what Paul in the Proverbs is telling to the rest of us. Think of your resources and your giving as seeds that produce a spiritual harvest. But who are we to give to? It says, if a sin to despise one neighbor, Proverbs 14 says, but blessed is one who is kind to the needy. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 10. He says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Are you willing to give a cup of cold water to a neighbor, to a person around you? Maybe that cup, they're hungry and they're thirsty for love or acceptance or hope, or just someone to tell them about the gospel. And he tells us that when we do that, that we're storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy. See, God doesn't care about how much we give. He cares about the motive behind it and the heart that is inside of us that motivates that giving. He says in 2 Corinthians that we are to give from a cheerful heart, not under compulsion, and that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, Jesus is one that I think watched people. I think he would be with us guys sitting at the mall when our wives are shopping. You know, when they're shopping, we're sitting on the benches. I think Jesus would be right there with us watching the crowd. And he did that when they came in to make their offering in the temple. And they had these metal trumpets that people would throw their offerings in. And the rich would come in and they would throw their big offering in and make a loud noise. And people would turn their heads to see who did that so they could get recognition. But at the same time, you had a little widow come in and she put two little coins in. They didn't make hardly any noise at all, but Jesus was blessed with that offering because it came from the motivation of the heart. So how are we supposed to give? He says that we are to give in humility, humbleness. He says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, if you want to get noticed for your giving, you'll get rewarded, but that's all you're going to get. But if you want to get a true spiritual reward from God, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He tells us that we are to give careful thought to how we handle our finances when we give, and do it with humility and little fanfare. See, generosity is the water that primes the pump of God's blessing or the resources He has blessed each one of us with. You know, as we start the Memorial Day weekend, people are going to be traveling, people are going to be going on vacation, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying our possessions, enjoying our blessing, and having wealth. But Proverbs gives us some godly wisdom to help us be the best managers, the best stewards of what God has blessed us with. We need to have a financial plan. Kind of keep an idea. Pay attention to our flocks and our herds, that he says. Work hard and be diligent. And then be generous. You know, but the idea that possessions are temporary and that we won't have any control over them after today, that really became a reality to me the day after my grandpa Cobb passed away. He passed away in the night. My dad and I were there. And the next morning, we were going through his stuff. We were going through his personal drawers, his personal boxes, and looking for important papers and finding pictures and knickknacks. And then I thought to myself, man, if my grandpa was still alive, he would tan my hide if he saw me going through his stuff like this. But then I remembered, you know, he's gone now, and he has no control over it anymore. It's in our hands to make sure it gets to the right places. And it's the same that we've seen with the tornado in Eldon and Jeff City. You know, it can take away possessions in a moment. But see, when we trust God with His financial guidelines for our goods, it all comes down to trust. Do we trust God with what He's entrusted us with? I could tell you story after story how God has provided for us and different things that He's done with us that were amazing. It doesn't mean our cars haven't broken down. It doesn't mean that our washer hasn't stopped working. It doesn't mean we've not had issues with our house or other things that have popped up unexpectedly. But I know God will take care of our basic needs. But He not only takes care of our financial needs and leaves us principles that will help us with our resources that He's blessed us with, but He gives the best principle to us for our spiritual needs. And that principle is whoever believes in His Son, Jesus Christ, will have eternal life. That is the most important possession we need to have, Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we honor God with our wealth, we trust His wisdom, and we'll watch God do amazing things. See, how we handle our goods, our wealth, is a reflection on how much we truly trust and love God. Are you ready to take God at His word concerning your goods and your finances? Our song this morning is hymn number 438. And I love the words to it. I picked it out specifically for this sermon, that we give thee but thine own, with the principle that God already owns it and that we are the stewards. So if you'll stand and sing hymn number 438.